take what seemingly is impossibly negative and turn it into a positive. But you're going to find something that I think is going to inspire you because of the gentleman that we're interviewing today, W.L. Laney. His personal story is a significant one. We are in a time where so many people's lives have been upset big time. The economy went in the toilet, and it just affected so many people. They lost their jobs. People have been hit with disasters of one kind or another by Mother Nature, which they had no control over. There's been massive layoffs, outsourcing of jobs. I mean, how many things can we describe that really stink sometimes about life? Well, we're all going to go through those experiences at one time or another. But how do you take something that can be so devastating and turn it around and then be an inspiration and a light of can do for someone else? Well, my guest today, W.L. Laney, is a man that has done exactly that. His publication is called The Phoenix Success Strategy. You're going to find out how a pair of scissors turn things around in his life. W.L., welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm delighted to be here with you. Thank you for having me on your program.
Well, I'll tell you what. I always, always am interested in people's stories and how they overcome situations. And I think it's always an inspiration to anyone who hears people's stories because they can relate. And it's not coming out of woo-woo lane. It's coming out of real life. And that is what really impressed me about you. You're a man who is, my goodness, you've had quite a bit of success, and you got slapped down big time. Would you share your story with my audience?
I'll be happy to. Donna, I have been, as you say, a successful businessman. And 10 years ago, everything was going extremely well. I had a great office 3 blocks away from the golf course where I had membership. We had just recently completed building our dream home. Family was there. Friends were there. Everything was going wonderful. I was working on a very large transaction when all of a sudden it just all went up in smoke. And like any wildfire, it consumed everything in its path.
Now, this was around 9/11, wasn't it?
Yes.
Happened around 9/11. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes, I did mean to interrupt you because I wanted to bring that point out.
That's all right. Donna, I'm married. I've been interrupted before.
Oh, I love it. All right, continue your story.
So, anyway, I'm working on this very large transaction, and all of a sudden, because of 9/11, or at least that's an excuse that we would like to lay to it if we are looking for an excuse, the funding dried up, and the transaction disappeared, and then my business went up in smoke, and then I'm losing our dream home, and my back is against the wall, and I am at the point where I need instant cash to keep the utilities turned on in the dream home that is being foreclosed on. I'm driving up and down the streets of Phoenix at 110 degrees temperature, and my Mercedes convertible has the air conditioning has gone out, and I don't have the money to fix it, so I'm carrying around rolls of paper towel to wipe the perspiration off of my body so that I can go into the salon to get money. Now, you mentioned the scissors, and this is something that I think is important for people to understand, and that is when you have some kind of a quote-unquote failure, you've been knocked down, you've had some kind of adversity or a tragedy in your life, you have to get back up. The only way you will ever fail is if you refuse to get up. I needed to get up. I needed to get up in a hurry. I couldn't rely on my past experience as a insurance salesman or a real estate salesman or a business broker or a mergers and acquisitions specialist or as a business owner, because my my business was gone and everything else took too much time. I needed cash today. So I am a very strong proponent of doing whatever it takes. I knew from 40 years previous, when I had learned how to sharpen professional scissors, that there was money waiting in the local beauty salons and barbershops. All I had to do was go in and perform a very needed service for them, which was sharpening their scissors. So in my, if we want to get into the detail of the story and doing whatever it takes, I needed the money to buy a sharpening machine. And the only thing I could do was go to the day labor office, and I got a job. And a little humiliating, if you will, but I got a job as Mr. Peanut, passing out peanuts at the grand opening for a local Walmart store. Fortunately, the costume had a screen on it, so none of my friends or business associates who were coming to the grand opening could see that it was me, because I was hidden in that costume. But well, I was able to put the...
That is something that is very significant. And I wanted to stop you there with that comment, because I was doing an interview with a woman who did some research regarding people that had been laid off from jobs. And she had interviewed a number of young people that were in their, let's say, 20s, 25 to 30 years of age. And they had gone to college. They had been highly trained. They were very skilled people in, let's say, the software industry. But 2 years after they had been laid off from their jobs, they still were not employed. And they did not know how to get out of the zone of, gee whiz, this is what I did, I'll do something else. And what you just said, I think, is significant, because you said you're Mr. Peanut for a store. This is a job that usually is reserved for a younger person. You were a mature individual. You're out there, and like you said, it's sort of humiliating because you are a top-notch professional, and here you are, you're in this devastating situation economically, but you have to take care of the bills. And you accepted a job that wasn't really who you were, but you said, I can do this. And I think that's a powerful lesson for anybody who's listening today. A job is not you. Who you are is what you are in character and persona. That's what counts. You do what you have to do.
Yeah, it was strictly a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. I needed money, and that was a stepping stone, and you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Now, go back to your comment about the young person that's been out of work for 2 years. If you've been out of work for more than 29 days, you need to do something different rather than look for a job. You need to find something that you can do, and people will pay you money when you accomplish that task. By definition, that is your own small business, whatever it is. And it can be anything that you know how to do. I mean, if an employer won't hire you, that doesn't mean you do not have the talent. That means that the employer doesn't have the money to hire you, or you're too old for that employer, or you're too young for that employer, or you've got too much experience for that employer, or you don't have enough experience for that employer. All of those things are totally unrelated to you and what your talents and abilities are. Find a way to sell what you do to the person that will pay. So there's steps to starting a business, and one of them is to focus on what you know how to do or can learn how to do. In my situation, and by the way, anybody who calls after the show, I will be happy to give you a free copy of my book, The Phoenix Success Strategy, It's humiliating to ever talk about your failures, but I determined, and my wife agreed with me, that if we were going to be able to help other people, I had to be totally transparent and say, this is what happened to me. These are the steps that I took to get out of it, and thank God I'm out of it, and mm-hmm. things are wonderful now. But at that moment, it was a moment of desperation. I had to look and see, all right, what can I do? Where can I find somebody that will pay me to do something so that I've got enough money to pay the utilities on the house that's being foreclosed on, buy the groceries that I need for today and tomorrow? So that's what I did. And you can do the same. Just look at what you know how to do, and then look for somebody that is willing to pay for that service. And that's the start of your business. Once you start the business, and you need to start, don't wait until you've got everything in a row. Just whatever it takes to get started. If you need a big piece of equipment, you don't have the money to buy it, find some place to rent it. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes. That's what I did. And uh-huh. even if it meant being Mr. Peanut, even if it meant having a garage sale, even if it meant taking items that I refused to sell to the pawn shop to get some immediate cash. That's what I did. I bought a sharpening machine, and then I discovered, Donna, that the industry had changed in the years I had been away from it. The design of the shears had changed, and all of the current equipment was actually damaging the scissors while you were trying to sharpen them. Okay, now think about that. You've got a hairstylist that's living many times from hand to mouth, and not much in the hand to put in the mouth. Mm-hmm. A lot of these girls that are working as a hairstylist, they are a single parent. They're trying to take care of their family. They've invested $200 to $600 in a pair of scissors, and some guy comes in with an antiquated piece of equipment and damages those scissors. That is a terrible thing to do to that poor hairstylist. So I did everything I could to earn enough money, got together with an engineering firm, and developed a system that would work, that would match factory specifications. So bottom line, I ended up with a patented piece of equipment. Now, from a business standpoint, and anybody that's starting a business, that key is, find something that you can do to improve whatever your product or service is. That will differentiate you from the competition, renders the competition irrelevant, so you don't have to compete on price. You can compete based on quality of product, quality of service. You are who you are. Do something that is better than what the other person is doing. It doesn't have to be a massive difference. I mean, we used to always talk about the horse that won the race. Everybody remembers its name. Nobody remembers whoever came in second, and mm-hmm. you beat out whoever was second by a nose. Okay,
right.
You don't have to be that much better. You just have to focus on your customer and providing your customer a quality service and a quality product, and you will get paid for that. And then I took it the next step. I built a business model from it, so now I can send people out less than $30,000. I can send them out with my system and our training program and all of the tools and things that we've developed over the years. They can go out and earn $100,000 a year. So now you have a choice. You've been fired or lost your job for whatever, or you had a business failure, you can sign up for unemployment, you can sign up for food stamps, you can move back in with mom and dad or move back in with your kids, whatever the case is, or you can start a business. You can figure out, what can I do that somebody is willing to pay me for?
Mm-hmm.
Take the bull by the horns, get up, dust yourself off, and go do it, and do it even better this time than you did before.
You have a number of stories in your book, The Phoenix Success Strategy, that I really think are very, very good ones. Orison Marden was one of the early self-help authors, and he was back in the 1800s, the 1850s to 1994. And this is a man that decided he was really going to make a difference in life. And he went on, he got an education, he did all kinds of things. But you have his quote, and it starts off with, "Opportunities, they are everywhere. America is another name for opportunities. Our whole history appears like a last effort of divine providence in behalf of the human race." And it was from his book, Pushing to the Front. You say money is not the problem. Now, I guarantee you, if you were to talk to an audience of people, which may well be the, you know, right now, that people are struggling, they'll say, what do you mean money is not the problem? If I had money, I'd be able to do what I needed to do. Why is it that money's not the problem?
Money is never the problem. It's my attitude that is the problem, and it's my attitude that is the solution. The statistics are all over the board, and I don't know which ones to believe, but I've heard that 70% of all businesses fail within the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Why do they fail? They fail for lack of capitalization. So it's blamed on money. It wasn't money that caused the business to fail. It wasn't that they didn't have a good location or that they didn't have a good business model. It was attitude. They did not put their customer first. If you put your customer first, you have a passion for meeting the needs of your customer. You have a passion for making a contribution. Make the contribution, the money will follow. And, mm-hmm. and it's nice to have the money. You know, everybody uses money. You know, the mortgage company wants money, the grocery store wants money, the car dealership wants money. Everybody wants money. But that money that I generate and that you generate is because you make a contribution. Make a better contribution. You know, they talk about working harder or working smarter. I found that the smart thing is to work harder. but that's a personal opinion that I have. I'm not the best salesman in the world, but I will outsell you because I'll work harder at it. Mm-hmm. I'll focus on the customer. I'll focus on meeting the customer's needs. One of the best compliments I ever have received from a customer was when that customer said, "Well, WL, you never pressure us into buying anything." And this was after I'd made multiple sales, significant sales, to that individual. Mm-hmm. But they didn't feel like they were pressured because I was focused on their needs. I had a passion to meet their needs, and that's what's going to give you the success. And as the quote from my book, this is the land of opportunity. I have a radio talk show called American Hope Talk Radio. We have hope in this country. This is still the land of opportunity. I did an interview the other day with a gentleman from Ireland who won a national lottery for a visa to come to America. He thought that was the best thing that ever happened to him in his entire life, was that ability to come to America. All right. Most of the people who are listening to me right now, you live here. Take advantage of what is yours. Your heritage is here. Your hope is here. The opportunity is here. Learn to take that opportunity. I'm giving you a free copy of my book. It's step-by-step instructions. This is what happened to me. This is how I worked my way through it. These are the principles. These principles still work. It doesn't matter whether the quote is from 100 years ago or from last week. The principles are the same, and you can use those principles to bring success in your life.
In your book, you say within 48 months, this is a patterning that you went through. despair, a plan of action put together plus effort equals success. Despair plus a plan of action plus effort equals success. And I find so many times people will say, that's you. I'm over here. You don't understand. I'm going through tough times.
Oh, I hear that. I hear that, Donna, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just you. Well, you're absolutely right. That is just me. The key that you need to understand is I am not one iota better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as good as you are. You're probably a better communicator than I am. You probably are, well, no question about it, you're better looking than I am. It doesn't matter. The key is your attitude and how are you going to move forward?
Yes, and that is really important. And many times I think we really need to link up with someone that can be a good mentor. Because I know from my own personal experiences and in reading your story, the Phoenix Success Strategy, to have integrity with yourself, to be open to possibilities, to not put a fence around who you are, to being able to see your capabilities and your skills. Sometimes having someone that can give you good feedback is important, and you bring a point out, and that is that you must have individuals that can look at you and can be in integrity with you, not try to sugarcoat anything, but just say, look, this is what I see. The brainstorming, I think, is incredible, because many times someone on the outside, so to speak, is going to be able to perceive something, and you may have a big aha. I mean, you just don't know what new environments you can find yourself in.
You're absolutely correct, Donna. And there is one caveat that I would like to add to that. Your mentor does not have to even know you. Your mentor can be somebody, your mentor can be somebody who has passed away. People have written out their life's learnings. It's in black and white. You can go to the library. You can get it. You can read it. You can draw inspiration from anybody that's written a book. And I mean, there's millions of books written on and self-help and how-to books, and all you have to do is read them and allow your creativity to take hold and see, all right, they did this in the 1700s, if you will, or they did it 10 years ago or 20 years ago. How can I apply it to life today? What can I glean from that person? What can I learn from them? They had ups and downs. They had successes. They had failures. How can I take my failures and make them stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks?
Very good point. I enjoyed very much your story about your son, who is in the business with you that you're doing. And when he was making a bank deposit one day, he was being assisted by a bank president trainee. And this trainee was working as a teller so that he would understand the banking business and one of the many positionings he probably would hold. And he asked your son what he did for a living. He really had an attitude when your son said, I sharpen scissors. I love this story. Would you tell the rest of it?
Well, it's a very common story of what money does in people's minds, and that's why we have the wrong focus on money, I think, too, is because it has such an appeal and it has such an impact. When my son said, "Well, this deposit that I'm making is my earning today," and the banker's eyes fly wide open, and all of a sudden his whole attitude is different. Oh, here's a potential customer for the bank. I want to have a relationship with this person because of all this money. Okay, you have to feel comfortable in your own skin. You have to understand you have value, and whatever job you're doing, it doesn't matter. If you're a taxi driver, you can have a huge impact on people. People are suffering today. People need friendship. People need encouragement. And however you have opportunity to touch people, you can do that in a positive way and make a tremendous impact on their lives.
Now, yes, you can. And I like your statement in the book about deprogramming history. And I think that that's a big one. Now, this is something that maybe a younger person might not relate to, but even if you're young, it doesn't make any difference what your age is. You could be in your 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't care, and everything in between. We need to be able to understand we are adaptable and flexible. We can deprogram what has happened in the past. We don't need to keep carrying it and wearing it and being martyrs. It's all right to adapt, to adjust. That seems to be almost a necessity in today's world.
Absolutely. I had Susan Armstrong on my program earlier this week, and she is today an internationally acclaimed author, speaker, trainer for Fortune 100 companies. She became an alcoholic at age 11. She ended up a drug addict. She ended up the possession of a biker gang. She was beaten. She was forced to work in a strip club. And if she didn't bring enough money home every night for her boyfriend, she would get beat. And her story is one of the most heart-wrenching stories I've ever read. But she made a conscious decision to turn her life around and to no longer believe those things that she learned as a child that robbed her of her self-worth, her self-esteem. And she made the changes and made them by her association with people that were there to help her. Made the changes by a self-help book, and that's why I say there is hope for you today. The material is there. The opportunity is there. You don't have to live below your potential because there is hope, there is help, and you just need to take the bull by the horns and do whatever it takes to move to the next step up. And that's why I'm trying as hard as I am to be on as many programs as I can and to give away as many copies of my book as I can, because if I did it, anybody can do it.
W.L., what is your website, or is there an email?
So
for those of you listening,
yes,
you can get a free book. Where do you go to get the free book?
Okay. The way to get the free book is just to call toll-free 855-WL-Laney. Or you can go to my book, my website, which is www.wllaney.com. So I try to make it as easy as possible. The phone number is 855-WL-Laney. The website is www.wllaney. Go there, get the book, and if you need to call me for additional encouragement, I'm happy to take phone calls as well. My goal is to help you be successful in any way that I can. I'm starting with bearing my soul. Here's what I did. Here was my screw up. If you want to call it a screw up, I call it a stepping stone. This is what happened to me. This is how I recovered. This is how I'm able to help people today to be successful in their lives, financially being part of that. But you have to build a better you.
I agree. W.L. Laney, you just have done a fabulous, fabulous, I think, job of sharing not just hope, but the tools, some of the tools that you have in your book, The Phoenix Success Strategy. And for those of you listening, you get a free book. All you have to do is pick up a phone and call 855-W-L-Laney, and that's W-L-L-A-N-E-Y, or go to his website and put in a request, WLLaney.com. And why not take advantage of this? If you know of someone that just absolutely is stuck in a self-pity pot of despair or just blindsided, they can't even get out of their mental confusion because they're so scared. Why not take advantage of this, the Phoenix Success Strategy, and pass it on? W.L. Laney, thank you so much for being my guest today, and I just know that you're going to find that you're going to touch the lives of many people because of what you have been able to weather and the wisdom that you are wanting to pass along. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna, for having me on the show. It was my privilege.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. When we come back, we have a lot more good things to share with you. Won't you continue to stay with us? Join us for more information. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I have, because I have been frightened where I get so concerned, I get so anxious. It's all fear. We get in because we don't feel like we're in control. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I know I've experienced it, and I feel many times that decisions that I made in my life that were not necessarily good decisions, when that fear is in there, when you have this, oh, what do I want to say? It's almost like an emptiness in your gut, and you're just quivering. You don't know. You will make choices that in a stable, steady feel you would never do. Why? And I think often we don't know how to let go. We don't know how to just relax and know that there is a resolution. Now, I've always said to people, and when I've talked, whether it's speaking or it's working with a client, this fear is a two-edged sword. Sometimes with fear, we have to be motivated. You know, it's a motivator. It's going to get us up and get us out and do things. On the other side of the sword of fear, it is paralyzing. We can't think. All we know is that we're drowning. And I had a client that called me this week, and that's exactly what was going on. This person had literally shut down, mentally, physically, emotionally, even spiritually. I mean, it was just a shutdown, and fear can do that to you. And when you're in that modality, you're not going to be able to bring out the greatness of yourself. So what can you do? Well, one of the suggestions is take a few deep breaths. Yes. You need to make it okay to relax. And boy, that's not always easy, because everything in us goes into that survival, fight, flight type of thing. And you go, how can I relax? I can't possibly relax. Yes, you can. So here are some tips. And they're very simple tips. They're nothing complicated. Meditation, relaxation. What does it mean? It means you take and you put yourself someplace. I don't care if you're sitting on the commode in the bathroom, but you put yourself someplace where you're not going to have the cell phone interrupting you. You're not going to have a bunch of busy people around, and you get quiet. You really get quiet. And you start doing breathing. And when I say breathing, I mean you inhale slowly, as deep a breath as you can, and then exhale slowly. And exhale as much air out of your lungs as you can. And then inhale slowly as much air as you possibly can take in, and then exhale. Now, sometimes it works in three breaths, but I don't want you to go that kind of stuff. You'll hyperventilate. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is for you to bring your energy in to a harmonic in your body, so you get rid of that fear that paralyzes you. And in our world today, we all feel like we've got to be multitasking at such a phenomenal rate. We don't give ourselves permission to do this. And if you do this, if you can mindfully calm yourself. Nobody has to know that you're doing this. You do this all on your own. Maybe before you even begin to have a meal, just express a gratitude of some type and just be quiet and then, you know, begin to eat. It's little one-minute moments that can make a big difference. If you're standing at a copy machine, if you are dealing with 5,000 emails and you're going, oh, my God, if I look at another email, I think I'm just going to scream. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And just, you can do it. Nobody will know that you're doing it. Inhale. Exhale. The breathing makes a difference. You know, when you're fearful, usually you're holding your breath. I have found this out, and I was made aware of it by someone else when they shared their awareness of what they were doing. And, of course, when you are breathing, those muscles become relaxed. Have you ever done a meditation where you're sitting and you say, I'm meditating, and all of a sudden you realize the muscles in your thighs are so tight? The muscles in your neck, your shoulders are so tight, And you have to be consciously aware of this so you relax. And it doesn't take long. But it's being mindful about where you are in the moment, realizing that you've got to release it. When you locate those tight muscles and you tell them to relax, they will. And there's a wonderful effect that occurs. You realize that you can conquer your moment, whatever that stress level may be. It's okay to go off and be by yourself. I can remember when I worked in a job, I was working for an insurance agency, this is a number of years ago, and I would get so stressed. I detested having to sit in an office where I was in a cubicle. Now, I'd only been working for this company for a very short period of time. And when I first started working for them, they didn't have walls up in the office. Well, someone in management got the bright idea that to improve efficiency, they were going to put walls around everyone. Well, what it did was create an isolation. And one of the things, there weren't that many of us in the office. I think it was a total of maybe about 10 employees that was working for this insurance agency. And it was just unbelievable how I felt, and this was just me, I felt like I was being stifled. I just did not like this cubicle effect at all. It was just too isolating. And this wasn't, again, that big a space to begin with that we were in. But it just created a distancing from the people that needed to interact in the office itself. And the truth was the other employees didn't like it either. But I'm digressing there. What I did and what enabled me to get through my day, I'd go out for a walk. Now, at that time, I was in Southern California, not the Pacific Northwest, where sometimes you need a kayak instead of being able to use a pair of walking shoes because we get so much rain here. However, in Southern California, that's what I did. I would go out and I'd walk, and I'd look at the trees, and I'd look at the beautiful mountains that were around me, and I would just sort of talk to myself. Do you know what? It worked wonders. I'd go back to the office, and instead of feeling weary, I was rejuvenated. I just absolutely felt so much differently because of giving that time to myself. So I just wanted to share that with you. Give yourself the time. If you've got lots of children around you, it's okay. You take the time. If you have to have a friend come in, or all the kids are down for a nap, maybe you lay down and you take a nap. Or if you're in a business environment and you just feel like you just can't do this for yourself, if you want to have quality performance in your life, it's okay. Shut a door. Use the bathroom. We gals are very familiar with bathrooms. It seems to be, especially when we have families, the only place where we can be left alone. Often we have to lock the door because the family will walk in on us. So you do things that you have to do. But you give yourself that time, and it will refresh you. And I can testify to meditation. You do meditation, you're going to find that you're able to start your day. And I really like to do it at the beginning of the day. It just invigorates me. And it's something that I think can invigorate you. But you have to find whatever style works best for you. But give yourself that gift. It makes all the difference in the world. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. I have a delightful story, well, about an angel, if you will. And also, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino muscle snack time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino muscle snack time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding amino muscle snack time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna. I had a story cross my desk that I just thought was so special, and I wanted to share it with you today. By the way, if you want to chat with me, 888-627-6008. It is a very personal story of a woman by the name of Kathy Hall. She's in Alabama. And her dad passed away. She said he'd always been the type of person that was a people magnet. He was a World War II veteran. He just was just so trusting and just had a love for people. It was very, very special. And one of the things people really enjoyed about him is the way he would tell stories. He would talk about what he had lived through, it was a storyteller. And he'd make jokes about himself and he'd get them laughing, and people just felt better being around her dad. And she said that it was just so special growing up and even as an adult woman, seeing how my dad had such an impact on people. And she said he had a special bench that he always went to in the area that they lived in, and that's where his storytelling would take place. It was called Lindsay's Bench. And people just would know that when Mr. Lindsay was there, there were always going to be stories shared. Now, there was a particular restaurant that the bench was located at, and everybody in the community knew where Mr. Lindsay's bench was, so they'd always go to this particular restaurant. Mr. Lindsay had a wonderful life, and he lived to be about 90 years of age. Now, he did get lung cancer, and he became quite weak because of that. But he still wanted to go have breakfast at his favorite hangout that he had been, well, sitting on the bench at for so many years. So people would take turns. Family would come and get him or take him over, and friends would do the same. He was dearly, dearly loved. Well, the time came when he passed away, again at the age of 90. And his daughter, Kathy, said she just had a terrible time. She could not bring herself to go to the restaurant. So for 2 years after he passed away, she opted not to visit the restaurant because it just brought back too many memories and it was so very painful, and she found herself starting to cry. Well, the day came when she decided she wanted to go back to the restaurant. There was her dad's bench, the bench that he had had. And she said, I just really wanted to have the bench. I wanted to buy the bench. It was something that was so special. I wanted to put it in a place and put my dad's name on it. It was Mr. Lindsay's bench. It had acquired quite a legacy of its own. Well, when she went back into Hardee's, now remember, she had been gone for 2 years. One of the employees recognized her and wanted to be sure they had the right person, and they asked, "Are you Mr. Lindsay's daughter?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Oh, we just loved him." Well, Kathy was sort of surprised at this. And she said, "You know, I notice you've remodeled the place." She said, "Yeah, we've remodeled it. But I want you to know, I saved Mr. Lindsay's bench. I just couldn't throw that bench out, even though we remodeled." And so where Kathy had had this image in her head of what she had wanted to do to buy the bench, and of course, when she walked into this restaurant, so much had changed, she didn't know that it was still there. Well, it was. The lady that she talked with was delighted to let her have the bench. And today, her dad's bench, Mr. Lindsay's bench, is sitting beneath the window of her dining room, and the stories are told by members of the family about those that they remember him telling. And it's a special place for the grandchildren. And she said, "I just feel every time we gather around that bench, our family is living the legacy that my dad left, the legacy of Mr. Lindsay's bench and the rich life that he lived." I just think it is such a wonderful story, and I wanted to share that story with you because we need to know that we can leave a legacy of our own by just being the best we can be. Our guest earlier today on the show shared his story about how he lost everything and was able to go back and to rebuild. How many people have been affected by natural disasters where everything is totally wiped out? It's heartbreaking. It's sad. It really, really is. Photos are gone. But yet people come together out of this kind of an experience as a community many times, supporting each other, and they have to start over again. And what does this do? One, it shows you that who you are makes a difference. And that things can be gone, be taken away from you. But it is the character of who you are as an individual that makes the difference. You can always rebuild. Many times I've heard the statement, in fact, my father used to say it, it's a dog-eat-dog world. But remember, always, you're the master of your fate, you are the captain of your soul, your life. So as you go out today, realize that you have this wonderful experience of life that you've been blessed to live. And as you go into your weekend, won't you reach out for the best that you possibly can? Don't just give for yourself to others, but give to yourself. Take that time for meditation. Take that time for dreaming. Take that time for restructuring your life. And take the time to call my guest, W.L. Laney, you know, the prefix is 855-W-L-Laney, L-A-N-E-Y, because you can get a free book. Let this man's inspiration inspire you or someone you love. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day, magnificent weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday, same time, same place. God bless. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.